Our first reading is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, and it's on page 1147. James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. But those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We're now going to look at the second reading, which is taken from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, and it's on the next page in the Bible, 1148. Faith in deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that people are justified by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So over to Dave.
Thank you, Sheila.
There's a story that was told to me. I'm fairly confident it's not true, but I will tell it to you anyway. It's the story of, I just need to particularly apologise to Andrew in this story. I can take no responsibility for the Scottish accents contained within it. There was a man, he lived in Edinburgh. We'll call him Andrew. Not because it was this Andrew, it wasn't this Andrew, but he'd fallen on difficult times. He'd been trying to hold down a job, and the job had gone wrong. He was at risk of losing his house. He was at risk of losing everything. And he heard that there were some jobs going down at the zoo. And so he went to Edinburgh Zoo, which is a fine zoo, and approached the zoo manager and said, "Is there any chance I could have a job?" My apologies. And the manager, who fortunately came from my neck of the woods, said, "I'm really sorry, we don't have any jobs going at all. But I need a job. You see, I've lost that. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose everything. If you've not got anything, I'll do anything at all." And the manager thought, he said, "Well, there is one thing. Our gorilla has just died. And it's a big draw. A lot of people come to the zoo to see the gorilla. But we do have a gorilla costume. Would you be willing to put that on and sit in the gorilla cage and be our gorilla?" And he said, "Well, if you've not got anything else, well, I guess I've got to do that." And so he went. And you know what it's like when you go to a zoo and you go to the gorilla enclosure? Mostly they just sit and do nothing. And that's what he started out doing. And then noticed that people were kind of looking and wanting him to do something. So he kind of got up and wandered across the enclosure and sat down again. Oh, look, he moved. He moved. So he thought, okay, well, I can do a bit, have a bit of fun with it. So he got up and started moving around a little bit more. And the more he moved, the more people were kind of interested and gathered around. And then he noticed one of these tire swings. And so he climbs up onto the tire swing. And look at it. And he started to swing, just very gently, back and forth. And people were getting quite, there was a bit of a crowd gathering outside the gorilla enclosure. And he got a little bit carried away. He started swinging more and more and going higher and higher. And the crowd were oohing and aahing and getting the whole thing. And eventually he swung flew out of the top of the gorilla enclosure, through the sky, and landed flat in the enclosure next door. And not the breath out of it. And he said, what can I do? How can I cope with this? And then he noticed, shall I come to this one for a little while, not sure what's happening with the breath. Enclosure. And there across the enclosure, looking straight at him, was the lion. And he thought, okay, let's style this out. And started edging away, further and further away from the lion, until eventually his back was up against the bars, and he noticed the lion was starting very slowly to come in his direction. And he's trying to find a way out, trying to attract attention. The crowd were definitely with what was going on, but none of them were going to do anything. And as the lion got closer and closer, eventually he lost control. And he said, "Please, please, let me out, let me out." At which point the lion said, "Shut it or we'll both lose our jobs." You see, what is inside will show out. What is going on within us will come out. It will reveal itself. If we have faith within us, this is the tangential point from that story to where we're going tonight, then that will show itself, because faith without deeds is dead. And if we have that faith within us, it will show. It will reveal itself. Because what is inside will come out. And that can be good and it can be bad. You see, if we have anger within ourselves, then actually it will come out. And I'm sure none of you are like this, but I'm sure all of you have met people where there's that anger inside. And when you're with them, you kind of feel like you're treading on eggshells, not to do anything that will set them off, that will spark a rant, a rage within them. And here within this passage, James is saying, slow to become angry. And yet when that's in there, it comes out. Similarly, our language, we can be so quick to speak and to say things without thinking through the repercussions. I'm sure probably all of us have been in those times where we've said something and then been desperately wanting to grab the words and bring them back before they reach the person that we've said them to. And of course, it doesn't work. I don't want to say too much about our language and the words that we use, because on the 4th of March, Liz and Carrie are going to be taking a service looking at a later part of James, but they may use verse 26 of chapter 1 as well, talking about controlling our words, our language. If there is bad within us, it will come out. Jesus talked about that as well. He said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. I suspect it's true of women as well. We have that stuff within us that we wish wasn't there, that we don't like, that we don't want anything to do with, and we wish nobody noticed about us. But what's inside comes out. But also the good things that are within us come out. So if we have God's law planted deep within us, that too will come out. And you'll find that actually as you speak, as you act, the grace of God, the love of God, the compassion of God will come and almost drip from you. And I'm sure you know people like that too. Maybe people that you've met here at the church who have so embraced God and his love and his graciousness that it just comes through them. In fact, looking around this room, I can see people who I would describe in that way. But I'm not going to name any names, because I know those kind of people would also feel embarrassed about that. But also, it's not just God's law, it's the care, it's the compassion. You see that in verse 27, also in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. When we are walking with Jesus, his love will come. We will care for those who are in need. We will deal with those practical things. It won't just be, oh, you're hungry, you're cold, you're lonely. Well, go, I wish you well. I'll pray for you. I'm not belittling prayer. Prayer is vital. Prayer is important. But if all that we do is pray when we're presented with real need, we've missed the way of Jesus. And so James carries on, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. That language, get rid of it, it's kind of strip it off. It's like if you've been out and I don't know what it is that you do where this would happen. We've been dog sitting for the last couple of weeks, and this particular dog likes a walk. And you may notice it's been a bit wet the last few weeks. And you go out and you take the dog for a walk, and pretty much wherever you go, even if you just stick to pavements, you come back and you look down and the trousers are still covered with mud. And we don't stick to the pavement. So you come back absolutely covered with mud. And you get in, you go, I can't sit anywhere, I'm too dirty. You strip it off. Put on clean clothes instead. That is the language that James is using of get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. And instead, we accept the word planted in you. That's the language of a seed. Planted in you. And when a seed is planted, you need to let it grow. And once it's grown, you need to let it show. Sounds like I'm doing a Frozen tribute there. I know some of you will be familiar with that. If God's word is planted in you, you can't hide it, because what is inside will come out. Not only what is inside, but what goes in will come out. Not just in terms of when we're at church and the things that come in there, but also all those different things that you watch, that you listen to, that you read, whether it's on a TV, a radio, a tablet, a computer, whatever it might be. All those things that go in, the conversations that we have, they shape us, they come out. And so the things we hear that are godly have got to be things that shape us. William Barclay, who wrote a series of commentaries on the New Testament, put it this way. He said, "That which is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace, or there is no point in hearing at all." That which is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace, or there is no point in hearing at all. If our Sunday services here do not affect your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what's the point? Paul, writing a similar kind of idea, used a particular phrase to describe these things. He called them the fruit of the Spirit. Love the way that the Living Translation puts that, the Living Bible puts that particular verse about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, when the Holy Spirit is in control of your lives, he will produce these fruit. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things we are planting within our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And if they go in, they will come out. But the flip side of that is if what goes in is just ritual and religion and ceremony, then that will leave us woefully inadequate. Another commentator, Alexander Ross, put it this way: to stop short at hearing and to fail to go on to doing leads to self-deception, the worst kind of deception. We need to be taking in what God is saying, whether that is through Sheila, whether that is through the reading of Scripture, whether that is through me, whether that's through Andrew when he's preaching, whether that's through others within us, congregation or beyond. We need to be taking in what God is saying and going on to doing. And James then picks up two Old Testament examples as people who did this, who lived out the deeds of faith. The first one is Abraham. Now, Abraham, you can read this story in Genesis chapter 22. He was there and he heard the voice of the angel of God bringing God's message, saying something horrific. Abraham, what I want you to do is to take your son, the one that you love, the one that all of my promises are wrapped up in, and I want you to take him to the place I'm going to show you and sacrifice him. And Abraham must have been confused, must have been puzzled by this. How can the God that I know, the God that I love, do this? And yet if God says, I will do. Now, please don't hear this wrong. I'm not suggesting that God is telling you to kill anybody. But Abraham acted on what God had said. They went on a trip. Abraham, his son Isaac, and a servant. And eventually they get to the place where God is showing them, Mount Moriah. And Abraham takes the boy and they head off up the mountain. And as they're going along, the boy goes, well, Dad, I can see we've got the knife and we've got the rope and you've got the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham replies, with God himself will provide a lamb, my son. And you can read that two ways. God will provide a lamb, my son. That's what I was saying to me, my son. Or God will provide a lamb who is my son. You can read it either way. But they get to the place and eventually Abraham ties his son up, places him on the altar, lifts the knife and is about to strike when the angel cries out again, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Now I can see you would not withhold anything from me. You'll give me your all. Now look over there, there's a ram caught in the bush. Make that your sacrifice instead. He was someone who believed and so acted. The other example that comes out is Rahab. This is in Joshua chapter 2. And two spies have come into Jericho and scouted out for eventual conquest. And as they arrive, they go into the house of a prostitute. Whether that is typical spy behavior or not, I do not know. But the prostitute was called Rahab. And she takes them in and she realizes that the guards are looking for these two people. So she hides them on the roof under sheaves of corn. And lies to the guards. Say, oh, no, they've been, but they went off again. They went over that way. Then she let these men down a rope so that they could escape. And they escape with the promise that when we come and take this city, because she recognized that God was handing it to them. When they come and take this city, if you tie a scarlet cord in your window, we will keep everyone who is in this house safe. She believed that God was handing the city to the people, to the Israelites, the Hebrew people. So she acted. These are examples James points us to. In the mornings at the moment, we're looking at Hebrews 11. There, you're also pointed to Abraham and to Rahab, along with a number of others. People who put their faith into action, who put themselves on the line in the service of a God who they were only beginning to know. So let me leave you with a question. If faith without deeds is dead, as James tells us here, then how does your faith come out? How do people see Jesus in you? Because if we are the people of God, if his word is within us, what is inside will come out. Shall we pray? Father God, we do thank you this evening that you have planted something deep within those of us who are walking with you and following you. And we pray, Father, for your wisdom to know how we can best follow you, serve you, and put our faith into action. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.